Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. Trying to read some verses here and give you the thought that's on our heart. Thought's been weighing heavy on my heart the last couple of days. I want to just try to be obedient to the Lord and do that that He'd be pleased with, first of all. And to try to be a help and a blessing to you. I'll pray that we can leave better than we come, different than we come, because of what the Lord has saw fit to do in our midst today. And certainly desire your prayers. I realize my insufficiency for this hour. Apart from Him, I need His help and need His touch today. Matthew chapter 14, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together. So, of course, by standing, we're just showing reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture, no doubt, that I'll read into your hearing this morning. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, and verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to preach this morning, if God would help me, for just a few minutes out of verse number 30 here of chapter 14. Where the Bible said, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink." It's been on my heart for the last couple of days to preach on when you start to sink. Now there's some important things about this scripture we need to take note of. Number one is the obedience of the disciples at the command of the Lord. The Bible said He constrained them to get in a ship and to go apart to the other side while He sent the multitude away. And they got in the ship and did exactly what He told them to do without question. At least it's not recorded in the Word of God. There's no question, no hesitation to the command of the Lord by the disciples, and so they do as He has commanded them to do. And the Bible said that as He sent them away, and then He sends the multitude away, that He goes to the mountain apart to pray, and He's there alone. So they are obeying His command, and they are sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and He is sending the multitude away, and He is going to the top of the mountain where He will pray alone. Then the Bible said, but as they sailed, there came a storm, and now the Bible said that the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now those are the storms that are the hardest to understand. The ones that come when we are doing our best to be obedient to the Lord. I don't find any record, none whatsoever. These are not perfect men, we understand that. But I don't find any record in this scripture of any sin that brought this storm on, of any disobedience, of any judgment. It is just simply the way of the child of God and in our life that storms are going to come. Even when we're doing our best to live right, to walk right, to obey the command of the Lord, of walking close with Him, there are still storms that are going to come. And so as they're in the storm, and it speaks about the wind and the waves, and about the watch at the time, the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest hour of the night, from about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And that is of the time that the Lord chose to come walking on the water to them. Now the Bible records in another one of the Gospels this same record, and it said that He saw them toiling in rowing. Now there's a lot of debate about Him seeing them. Some commentators and scholars have said that in the relation of the mountain across the sea, that He could, from where it was physically, He could see them in the midst of the sea. It really is irrelevant. The reality is that whether He was close to them, could physically see them from the mountain or not, He was God. He knew where they were and what they needed, and He could see them in their trouble. You and I need to understand that in our storm, regardless of how close God feels to us, that's how it was mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning about feeling. Thank God for feelings that are associated with salvation. Thank God for times we come and we can feel the Lord and feel His presence and feel the joy and the peace and the satisfaction of being a child of God. But what about those times when we don't feel anything? What about those times when the feelings are dull and our senses spiritually are numb? I'm glad to know that regardless of where we are and what's going on, He knows where we are and He knows what we need. So He sees them. They're toiling and rowing, one the gospel said. The word toil means to struggle without progress. They are, one preacher heard, preach a message one time on treading water. Have you ever tread water physically? You know what you do? All you do when you tread water is keep your head above the water. You're not making any progress. You're not going anywhere. Have you ever felt what it's like to tread water spiritually? To feel like all your effort, all your energy, all that you can do, all you're doing is just trying your best to keep your head above the water. For the Bible said the wind was contrary unto them. The word contrary means to be opposed as a violent adversary. It meant that they were trying to go one direction and the wind was working at all its power to push them in the other direction. And there are many things we can liken the wind to, and might look at some of them in a minute, but the reality of the truth is this: we're living in a day that there is an opposition, there is an opposing force, and forces pull against the church and the people of God. And there are going to be days that on our best day, all we can manage to do is to stay in our place. That's what the disciples were doing. They were doing their best not to be blown backwards. They were doing their best not to lose ground. They're doing their best just to stay in their place. And there have been days in my life that it felt like a great accomplishment just to stay where I am and not make any forward progress. There are storms that come that we cannot understand. There are things that happen to us that we cannot explain. We might as well come to grips with that. There are things in our life. If something comes in your life, the storm, the judgment of God, if it comes because of something wrong you've done, you'll know it. You'll know what you've done. And you'll know the sin. You know you need to get it right. But there's no point in you if God hasn't put His finger in your heart and shown you some wrongdoing in which you're being judged for, or chastened for, or corrected for. But not every storm comes as a result of wrongdoing that we've done.
That's right, brother.
Some storms come that you cannot put your finger on. Some storms come that you cannot figure out why they've come. You cannot put a reason as to why the things have transpired that have. Nothing really has went wrong. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Nothing. I've had times and storms and problems in my life that I could look back and say, well, it's because this went wrong at work, or this happened in life, or this went on at home, and all that. There are some things that you just cannot explain and cannot understand. It's just the way of the storm for the child of God.
Amen, brother.
I thought about this week. Now I'm just going to preach this morning and preach what's on my heart. I don't know. I still don't understand how or why it come, and I don't know the reason. Maybe it's to help me understand and be able to preach from my heart to you this morning. If that's what it's for, then it's been well worth it. But Thursday evening, I walked through the door of my house. Cannot to this morning. Cannot explain to you why it happened. Nothing went wrong at work. Nothing was wrong at home. People were at my home. We were gathering together to celebrate. It's going to be a good day. But the minute I stepped foot out of my truck and put my feet hit the gravel in my driveway, it felt like all of hell assailed me and attacked me from every side, and I felt like literally it's going to have a nervous breakdown. I didn't know what was going on. Still don't understand why it came. I cannot put my finger on why it came, but I know it did, and it's the reality of living in life, living in the flesh, being a child of God on the sea of life. Storms are going to come. I thought about these disciples. It helped me relate with them. Maybe that's why. I don't know. God has a purpose. I know that. And that gives me comfort. If I didn't believe that, I'd close the Bible today and go home and never come back. But I can believe this morning and know that God has a purpose for all things. It doesn't mean all things are going to be good, but it means that He has a reason and a purpose behind everything that comes. And it helped me put myself in the shoes of these disciples. Now, they're human, they're flesh just like you and I are. And I wonder about the conversations that's going on the boat. Now, they're probably saying, well, we obeyed His command. Why did He send us out here for the storm to come? We've done exactly what He told us to do. And now He's left us alone in the storm. And we're going to go under. But the Bible said in one gospel, they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I mean, it looked like everything was over for the disciples. And they're fishermen, many of them by trade. They have had experiences on the boat, but they've been in some storms with the Lord. And here they thought they was without Him, but He is really with them. One old preacher said the Lord sent them away while He went apart in the mountain to pray, to teach them that when He's not with them, He's still with them. And I'm telling you this morning, down in your heart, you may not be able to sense Him or feel Him or sense where He's at, but He's teaching you that even when you can't, He's still with you. He said He'd never leave us and never shake us. And that is, as the Sunday school lesson was, that is the truth. That is part of the girdle of the truth for the child of God, is that we are never alone.
Amen, brother.
And if I didn't know that, I'd probably quit today. There have been days I've been left alone by family. There have been days I've been left alone by friends, some purposefully and some not. There have been times that my family could not go where I had to go. They could not experience what I'm having to experience. But I'm glad there's been somebody with me all the way. I'm glad this morning to know that in the midst of the storm, no matter how bad it gets, how big the waves are, how hard the wind blows, I'm glad to have somebody with me all the way.
Amen, brother. That's good.
Their conversation probably is, why did He send us out here? I mean, they know who he is. There may be times that they act like they don't know who he is, but they've been around him enough to know who he is. They know he knew about the storm, but they could not understand why he had sent them out there to go through what they're going through. You may be here this morning, you can't figure out for the life of you why the Lord's letting you go through what you're going through, why you're having to face what you're facing, why you're having to experience what you're experiencing. But I'm glad in the fourth watch of the night he comes a-walking on the water. And he says, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And old Peter went hard on him a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you what, he's the only one, the 12 that ever walked on the water. Peter has a love. I was reading, and I don't read a whole lot of commentators. I find, and I'm not knocking any preacher that does, that's between them and God, but I find a lot of times it sways what the Lord's trying to do in my heart. And so I try to get what the Lord wants, and if I feel compelled to read a little bit, I'll try my best to. But one writer said, I was reading last night, that Peter had a love for the Lord. Sometimes he stuck his foot in his mouth. Sometimes he did what he did and shouldn't have done it, but he did it out of good motives, a good heart. He loved the Lord. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to thee on the water. Now the storm's not stopped. It's still as bad as it's ever been. But Peter says, Lord, if that really is you, I want to come where you are. And the Lord began to speak to my heart about old Peter here, and I want to preach on him. Apart from everybody else, we could preach about the other disciples in the boat. They're in the storm just like everybody else. But Peter's going to have an experience in the storm that none of the rest of them have. And the Lord spoke to my heart this morning, and he said, son, the storms come, and they're not present, but you can have an experience in the storm if you'll let me do my work in the storm. I'm glad this morning you don't have to just ride out the storm. You don't have to just endure the storm. You don't have to wait just till the storm passes by. But if it's the will of God, you can have an experience in the storm that you'll not have anywhere else with God. Peter had this experience in the storm. Peter had a desire. I got four things on my heart and I'm done. Peter had a desire in the storm. His desire was not to walk on the water. Peter, you hear me well this morning. Peter's desire was not selfish. He did not say, Lord, bid me come so I can walk on this water. Peter said, if it is you, bid me come to thee. Peter's desire was to get where the Lord was. And if it took walking on the water, the Lord could make a way for Peter to get where he was. And in your storm, there are two things the storm's going to do to the child of God. They're either going to drive us further from God or pull us closer to him. And sometimes God brings a storm to pull us closer to him, to give us the desire to get out of the boat. Everybody's on the boat. Sometimes it's time to get off the boat. All the other 11 stay on board. Peter's the only one that got off, and Peter's the only one that had this experience to tell about after the storm.
Right.
Too many of my days, I look back in my life, and I'm just preaching very honest and from my heart this morning. Too many days I look back in the storms of my life, and it was spent riding it out on the boat. It was spent just wishing, you know, I understand. I'm not trying to take the Bible out of context or put any words in anybody's mouth, but I thought about Acts 27. The Bible said they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They just wanted the storm to be over. And I understand there are days in our life we don't enjoy the storm. The storms are not fun. And many of the nights we go through the storms, we're just wishing for the storm to be over. And if I was to be honest with you, I spent about Thursday and Friday wishing for the storm to be over. But about on Saturday night, about 9 o'clock, the Lord let me know that it wasn't to be spent wishing for it to be over, but it's time to get out of the boat and to go where it was. I'm telling you this morning, you may be in the storm. It may be in the worst one of your life. But the Lord's saying this morning, it's not time to just wish it over, but it's time to get out of the boat and to have a desire in your heart and to get where he's at one more time.
Amen.
Now Peter had walked with him, I don't know for how long, I'm not exactly sure when, in Jesus' life, in his public ministry, them 3.5 years of public ministry, we don't know exactly when. I mean, people can guesstimate and estimate about when it was, but Peter had some hand-in-hand experiences with the Lord, and at this moment there felt as if there was a separation, and the storm had come, and there was doubts and fears and questions in Peter's heart, but then the Lord comes walking on the water. He said, "It's me, it's high, don't be afraid." And Peter said, "If it's you, I want to be where you are." Right. And he had a desire. I wonder about you this morning. I wonder what your desire is in the storm. Do you desire just for the storm to be over? And I'm not preaching at you this morning, not preaching mean-spirited, and not fussing at you. I have been where you are just in the last few days, just wishing, "Lord, I want it to be over. I mean, I want it to be over." I ain't told many people about it, a few I've talked to about it. I mean, it's just something I went through in my own. I don't like to talk about a lot of things, but the Lord has put it on my heart to preach it and talk about it. I didn't even have any idea, didn't have any intention of speaking about it this morning. I was just going to preach my heart, but it's in my heart to tell you about myself. And I felt like for the last few days, "Lord, just let it be over." But then last night, and I can't explain it, and you can't either, no need to try it, but last night there's something inside me. I got hooked up with Him, and I said, "If I need to stay in the storm for a few more days, it'll be okay as long as I can get where you are, God." I'm telling you this morning, the storm's not come to injure you because He's mad at you, because He's upset at you, because He wants to chastise you. But the storm's come this morning to shake you out of the boat and get you to where He is again. We live in this life and we get so distracted, we get so caught up in everything that's going on. And if we're not careful, we'll turn around twice, and unintentionally we have drifted away from God. It's kind of like a sheep whiz fencing yesterday. Brother Jacob was helping me. We got it done, thank the Lord. And we had everything done except one side. It was bordered by woods and the barn was there. And I thought, if we get that side done that's near the open road, they won't go nowhere, they'll stay in. But ain't it amazing? And we got that side done, and they went around the barn to get out the other side. He said, "What are you saying, preacher? It's in the nature of the sheep to wander." It is in their nature to wander. If they can get out, they'll get out, and they'll go exactly where you don't want them to go. It's part of their nature. And I thought about, the writer of the psalm said, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." The writer of the song said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." And that is the reality of the nature of the sheep and the people of God. And if we're not careful, unintentionally, just getting caught up with everything that's going on in this life, we'll get apart from God. Amen. And sometimes it takes the storm to bring us back to where we need to be. And maybe that's what it was in my life. I can look back over my life and say that maybe I'm not as close to God as I have been. And if you'd be honest, you could probably say the same thing. And if you are as close as you ever have been, you're not as close as you could be. And you're not as close as you should be. But there's not an individual in this building this morning that is as close to God as we could or should be. And sometimes the storm comes and to put a desire in us again and to get to where He is. And so Peter gets off the boat. Peter says, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus don't have some big, long spiel because it's already in Peter's heart. He doesn't need coercing. He doesn't need coaxing. He doesn't need a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-step process to try to convince him to go to God. It's already in his heart. And the Lord says, "Come." And Peter gets off the boat. I'm preaching this morning. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm just preaching from my heart. If you're here this morning and you're in the storm and the desire's already in you, you don't need me to preach a 5-step point outline on how to get out of the boat, how many steps to take, how to go in. If it's already in your heart, all you need to do is hear His voice, not mine, saying, "Come," and get out of the boat. And the Bible said that Peter stepped out of the boat on the water to go to Jesus. It's in the scripture twice to reinforce what Peter's desire really was. It was not to walk on the water. Peter didn't want to get out of the boat so that in 2021 on July the 4th, some preacher in Mars Hill, North Carolina could preach about how Peter walked on the water. That was not Peter's desire. But Peter's desire was to go to Jesus. If you want to get out of the boat this morning just so maybe your storm will be over, just so maybe you can gain or get something out of it, that's not the desire. You're probably going to fall in the water. But if you want to get out of the boat to get where He is, to get closer to Him, to draw nigh to Him, so He can in turn draw nigh to you, if you're needing Him in the storm, if your heart's troubled and you need to get where He's at, hear His voice, listen to it, and come. Amen. Peter had a desire. But then I want to say Peter got distracted. The Bible said he got out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I don't know how far Jesus was from the boat. I know he's close enough that they heard him. I don't know how many steps Peter took that were good and in order. I don't know. But I do know what the next part of the verse says. But when he saw the winds, the waves boisterous, he got his eyes off the Lord. He saw the waves boisterous. The word boisterous means powerful, mighty, and violent. This was not your everyday, average, typical, ordinary storm that Peter's walking on. And the storm did not quit just because Peter stepped out of the boat. The storm's still raging. The waves are still lapping on the sea. And Peter gets his eyes off of the Lord and on the storm. And he sees the waves boisterous. I wonder how many of you have got out of the boat this morning. How many of you it's on your heart to get out of the boat this morning. But if you're going to have any success, if you're going to get where you need to go, if you're going to get where... Now, it didn't change Peter's desire. He still wanted to get to him. But his flesh, he's in the flesh. You and I are in the flesh. And if we're not careful, we'll get distracted in the midst of the storm. Oh, Peter's desire was right. We can read it. He got out of the boat. He walked on the water. When Peter was come down in verse 29, out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was distracted. Took his attention off the Lord. You say, preacher, what is the wind? Anything in your life that'll take you off, take your eyes off of Him. The wind could be yourself. The wind could be Satan. The wind could be your situation. The wind could be your surroundings. The wind could be society. It could be the world we're living in. You can get your eyes caught up on anything in this life and take your eyes off Him. And to you, at that moment, it becomes the wind. What is it this morning that's took your eyes off of Him? What is it this morning that's got you distracted from Him? That your vision used to be so centered on Him. Your attention used to be focused wholly on Him, but something has distracted you from Him. Is it your situation? Is it the days we're living in? If we're not careful, I'm going to confess my faults. If I'm not careful in these days, it's very easy to get distracted by what's going on in the world. It's very easy to get distracted by these last days that we're living in. It's very easy to get distracted when we think about today and all that we celebrate on this day. Thank God we've already said for our nation, but it's very easy to get our eyes distracted by what our nation is doing in these days. What's got your eyes off Him? If your eyes are on Him, you can walk on the water. Do you know that? There are people still today that are walking
on the water. You can walk on the water. That walking on the water is a symbol of close communion and fellowship with Him. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 2 and 20, we're crucified with Him. In Ephesians chapter 2 verses 5 and 6, we are quickened with Him. We are raised up with Him. We are made to sit with Him. And here in the text, it is a possibility for you to walk on the water with Him. But you got to have your eyes on Him. And you got to have your desire toward Him. See, the Bible said to delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and He would give you the desires of your heart. That does not mean He will give you all your heart desires, but I believe that verse means that He will put the right desires in your heart if you'll delight yourself in Him. What is your desire this morning? Do you just want the, and I'm not fussing this morning, I'm just preaching. Do you just want the storm to be over? Or is there something to be gained in the storm and you want to get closer to Him? Do you want to go where He's at? But the Bible said that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk and he saw the wind boisterous. But it's not just the wind. That's what the scriptures say distracted Peter, was the wind. But then Peter got afraid. The Bible said he saw the winds boisterous and he was afraid. It defeated Peter. I thought about those waves. The word that came to my heart is disturb. Peter got disturbed while he was walking to go to Jesus. Because the waves, if you study waves, I'm not talking about on the ocean. The waves of the ocean many times are affected by gravity. It pulls the tide in and pushes the tide out. But we're not talking about on the ocean. We're talking about on a sea or on a lake, a body of water completely surrounded by land. There's no tide. There's just waves. And the waves are one, I looked it up last night, felt compelled to. Scientifically speaking, the waves on a sea are 100% a result of the wind. 100%. There were three things, I didn't write them down, I can't remember, but they were all had to do with the wind. Waves are caused, it said something like the speed of the wind, the direction of the wind, and the power of the wind. All of those things are what makes the waves, and the waves are disturbance on the surface of the water. And I'm going to tell you, in your life, the wind is blowing against you. There is a wind of opposition against you, and that wind, that working of yourself, of Satan, of your, it will create waves, disturbances in your life that you can overcome. But if you're not careful, it will turn your eyes off of Him. The old writer wrote the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." That's what we're going to have to do. It's not going to get any better. This world's going to get worse and worse. And there's got to be a desire birthed. We can't make it of ourselves. It's got to be birthed in us. And I want to go where He is.
Right.
I understand. I'm not talking about heaven. We're going there one day if you're saved. I'm talking about in this life, in this world. How to get closer to Him. How to walk up into the sunset with Him. If you can get your eyes on Him and go toward Him, nothing else will matter. It don't matter how big the waves are. It don't matter how hard the wind blows. If you can just keep your eyes on Him, that's what will change the difference. Are you disturbed in your heart this morning? Is there something, are the waves of your life disturbing you? See, the problem is when we get distracted and we get disturbed, then it causes a dilemma in us. And the Bible said He began to sink. Ain't that amazing? I mean, that's really what arrested my heart and what's been on my heart for the last couple of days. It didn't say He sunk. It said He beginning to sink. Now, I don't know how it all happened. In my mind, I got an idea. The way it's in my heart, I thought about, Lord, I just asked the Lord, you know. And I'm not saying I got all the answers, but If you ain't never talked to him, we talked this morning in the opening service about him being our friend. The Bible said that Abraham spoke to God, or Moses spoke to God like a man spoke to his friend. You ought to try it sometime. I just said, Lord, does that mean? And this is how I kind of got it in my heart. He got his eyes off the Lord. He still has the desire is not gone. He still wants to go there. He still wants to get to where the Lord is, but he's been distracted. Now there's something disturbing him, but he's still trying. But I think with every step he took, he went a little deeper in the water. Maybe with the first step, his foot goes under. And the next step, it comes up an inch or two, and an inch or two, and an inch or two. I don't know how far he got. But he got in a dilemma. And the cares, see, the wind is whatever opposes us. And the waves are whatever brings us down. And the cares of this life and all your trouble, if you're not careful, it'll suck you in. And I feel like in my heart this morning, I'm preaching to some folks, and I will be 100% honest. On Thursday and Friday, I was one of the folks that I was beginning to sink. I was getting sucked in. And I'm going to tell you about myself, okay? I'm not going to tell you this where you are, but I'm going to tell you about myself. I was so selfish. I said, Lord, I don't deserve this. I'm trying my best to do right. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. And I'm just being honest. Confession's good for the soul. Somebody needs to hear this morning. And before I knew it, I don't know how deep I got. Pretty deep. Probably treading water just to keep from my head going under. But I was so caught up. You hear me? I was so caught up in what I was going through. I was so caught up in how I was feeling that I didn't see him standing in the distance saying, come to me on the water. But I'm glad last night I got a glimpse of somebody in the shadows. And Peter cried, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
He's already one of his. He's not saying, Lord, save me again. Not save my soul. Lord, get me out of what I've got myself into. That's what Peter's saying. And if you're sinking this morning, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news and sound harsh, but I'm going to say it about myself. And if you're sinking this morning, it's something you've got yourself into. The storm may not be your fault, but our eyes getting distracted, we get turned aside. Oh, my situation, my place, that's what I got myself into. And the only way to get out was to say, Lord, save me. I'm glad the story don't end with Peter's dilemma. Boy, he's in a fix too. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad the Lord didn't shut me off on Friday night because I was in a fix. I'm glad he didn't shut me off Saturday. I was in a fix. I was working in the field and I was telling Jacob about it and I made it sound like it was some awful thing. And I probably need to apologize to him. I probably made the Lord sound real bad on Saturday because I was so caught up in me and how I was feeling. And I'm glad it didn't end there. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if Peter just tried to push through and didn't realize how deep he is. I don't know. I know there's any kind, if your imagination can run with it, the way our flesh is, if there's any situations possible. Maybe Peter didn't even know till it hit him about the knees he was even going under. I don't know. But I know there come a point Peter realized he could not get himself out. And I prayed. Please don't think I'm an awful person. I don't think you do. I'm just being honest with you. I'm your preacher, your pastor, and it's my duty when God puts it on my heart to share my heart with you, even if it does cast a back. It's not about me anyway. It's about him.
Yeah, brother.
Peter got to a point he knew he could not get himself out. And I'm going to tell you, I got to a point I knew I had to preach this morning if it was God's will, and I wanted to. Because I loved you, and I said, Lord, I can't preach like this. Help me. And I seen him in the shadows. And I said, Lord, where you been? And he hadn't went nowhere. I'm telling you this morning, you may be saying, Lord, where you been? Lord, where are you? He ain't went nowhere.
That's right.
He's waiting on you.
Yes,
to get to the place you can't do it no more. Peter said, Lord, save me. And this is amazing. The Lord didn't let him stew in what a mess he had made. The Lord didn't say, you just rough it for a while and I'll come get you when I'm ready. But the Bible said, immediately the Lord took his hand and called him. Peter cried and the Lord called him. Ain't that amazing?
Yep.
You can believe what you want to. I think Peter was fixing to go under and it's going to be all over for him. But he cried out and God called him.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you for myself, the worst experience of my spiritual life I've ever had, and I knew I was going under. I was going under. I was ready to throw up the flag and quit it all. But I cried, Lord, help me. And he caught me. And when he caught me, it didn't take him 5 steps to get me up out of water. He jerked me up and put me back on the boat. And the Bible said when they got to the boat, the wind ceased. He done his work. He had accomplished his purpose in Peter. That was his purpose all the time. His purpose. Ain't it amazing? I don't know if it's happened to you this morning, but it's happened to me. His purpose the whole time was for Peter to start going under, and for Peter to get to the end of himself. That was his purpose, so that he could draw him up out of the water and show him who he was again.
Yes,
Peter had an experience that day on the boat and on the water no other disciple ever had. And I'm not going to say that I had an experience that no other preacher's ever had. I probably didn't. But I will say this. I had an experience last night I had never had. Not like that before. When he pulled me up out of the water. And I'm going to tell you, maybe, I know it was immediately. I understand that. But immediate to God, his time don't work like our time. But I'm going to tell you how I feel in my heart this morning. About the time I started preaching, he jerked me on up out of the water and put me on it again. And me and it, now they had to get from where they were back to the boat. So that meant that they had to walk arm in arm all the way back to the boat. And what I feel like in my heart this morning, thank God, is that I'm walking hand in hand with him back to the boat. The storm's about to be over, but it don't matter. I'm where I need to be. And you may be here this morning and you're in the boat. You may be here this morning and you're walking on the water. You may be here this morning and you're going under. None of the places in it matters where you are. I just want you to know that when you begin to sink, there's somebody waiting to pull you up out. See, we can talk about Peter's desire. Thank God for it. We could talk about how he got distracted. We could talk about how he got disturbed. We could talk about how he got in a dilemma. But I want to major on he got delivered. He got jerked up out of the water. And the Lord saved him. I'm glad this morning to have been pulled up out of the water. I'm glad this morning to have walked on it a little bit, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. And I want to preach to you this morning, you that are struggling. I know God didn't let me go through what maybe is just for me, but I don't believe so. I'm satisfied in my heart by the Holy Spirit that there's somebody in this building that you're going under.
Yeah.
You're facing something. You don't know how to fix it. You don't know where to go from here. You don't know how to get yourself out. Everything you've done, it's like quicksand. The more you fight, the deeper you go. You say, preacher, what I do? You're just going to have to cry out from the pits of despair and say, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, get me out of this. He's awaiting. And not just is he waiting, he's willing to get you out. As we stand all over the house this morning, I'm done.